Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 221. This is part two, the conclusion to The Invisible People. Today is Sunday, November 20th, 2011.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address. Verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available, and that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me. But I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down. The messages, divine thoughts, the scent sends, the invisible people, poverty. This is going to be a good month. Be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, you're not all there. Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
Now, I know one way to destroy this. Now, I'm not against vacations, but I think there's people take too many vacations. Any excuse to run away to a seminar. Any excuse. And the further away, the better. Are you hearing this? How much do you need to know to feed the poor? How much do you need to know to visit the widows and the people in prisons? How much do you need to know to open up your eyes and see? How much learning does it really take? Bible says that Christians are a lot of times always learning but never coming to knowing Jesus Christ. Have you ever run into one of them spiritual word hogs? 900-pound word hogs. They run all over. You've got to get two seats for them because they're so spiritually full. They never give out anything. And they're always learning. I know a gal, and she knows the Bible. She knows every version of the Bible that ever was printed. Okay? And I talked to her a short time back. I says, what are you doing? She says, I'm in a 5-year Bible study. But what are you going to do with it? That'd be like going to work, and you try this in your job. See, I think Christianity's got to get real, don't you? Try this in your job. They send you to school, and you learn all about repairing Chevrolets. And then you just keep on going to school. No, you go in there, and you go to work. Right? You go to work, and they don't pull out like we see a lot of Christians do, right in the middle of their work. See, and here's people to be fed and everything, and they'll just sit down and they start reading Bible again. Close that Bible and get to work. How many hearing this? Can you do that on your job? Oh, boss, I'm just learning more about the product here. And it'll be real good for you when I learn about it. I'm in a 5-year study on it right now. Well, by the time you get done, that thing will be obsolete. By the time you get done reading that all those manuals, those 1985 manuals in 5 years, see, all that stuff that you've read about for 1985 will be obsolete. And it's the same way with not dealing with the problems right now that we have in the body of Christ. The meeting the needs of people. The problems are growing and changing at such a rapid pace. But by the time that we get done reading about the problems we have right now, they'll be obsolete. In other words, the people will be dead. That's obsolete, isn't it? I wonder how many souls are going to perish because we didn't care enough to lay the book down, the Word of God down, and use the Word of God. Blinded to the needs of other people. We can get so puffed up in our wisdom. I hope you're listening on the radio. That's really who I'm ministering to. We're out there like trained parrots. Polly wants a cracker type of ministries. But see, when we walk among the poor, we must be a very poor Christian who does not lift up his eyes after leaving, after walking through. Lift up your eyes and say, Lord, I praise you for a roof over my head. And I praise you for the food that you put in my stomach and the job that you've given me. Are you hearing this? Did you ever have a real earache? Say, oh God, if I only could get rid of this earache, I'd give anything to get rid of this earache. Aren't you glad tonight you don't have an earache? How many have had earaches in here? Isn't that painful? No, that's something to praise God for. Isn't that the absence of pain? Or mental torment? When you couldn't sleep all night? Or the absence of fear? Or a deliverance from alcohol or drugs or whatever? Isn't that something to look back on and say, wow, I'm going to praise God right now for the absence of those things? When you see someone that's afflicted with those things, doesn't that make you praise God that you don't have them, that you've been delivered? There's so much to praise God about. Yet we have people right now that are under their ice boxes. Oh, they get inside that ice box and they look and there's nothing to eat in there. Roast beef and roast pork and ham and chicken salad and chicken and milk and eggs and cake and fruit. And they yell out, there's nothing to eat in here. Well, you don't have that kind of problem if you only got a can of beans. Now, let's don't take the mercies of God for granted, okay? Let's don't take the mercies of God for granted when we got a nice warm building like we have here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this nice warm building. Thank you, Lord, for this building. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For this oasis in the desert. For this place of refuge for people to come. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. You don't know how long you're going to last. Oh, we're sitting here and we go by the insurance people. We say, well, according to the insurance people, the average age is up. You live to be 71, 72 years old. You can drop dead right now. Praise God for that nose full of life you have. Your life is in your nose. Each breath full, each nose full. Thank you for this nose full. No, God's a sovereign God, see. And He's always going to have the poor. Say amen. Now I know you're listening on the radio out there. Say, oh, that's so negative. Someone told me even before I came down here, it was about 10 years ago, they said, oh, you are the wrong person to go to the north side. Well, I said, that remains to be seen. I don't know myself. I just take one step at a time. I do not know. But I'll tell you one thing. I really don't want to go. So you could talk me out of it any time you want to, huh? No, you can't talk me out of it. How many are hearing this message tonight? Now lock all the doors and windows. Let's all sit here and hear this message tonight. And so the person said, I really don't think you're the person to go down there because people need to have a prosperity teaching. Well, I says, I don't believe in that. The Bible says, I wish above all things that your soul would prosper. Brother, I said, the Bible doesn't say that everybody's going to be rich and everybody's going to be in perfect health. But no one's ever going to wear eyeglasses. I remember several years ago when they had this positive thinking preaching. And this girl took off her glasses and she says, I'm never going to wear glasses again. I'm going to believe God to have my heal my eyes. You wear glasses? How many wear glasses in here? And I'm going to believe God to heal my eyes. I says, that's fine. But when you go down and take your driver's exam, what are you going to tell them down there? I said, why don't you be realistic? So she took these glasses off. I mean, she couldn't see anything. I mean, she was wearing glasses. They looked like the bottoms of Coke bottles. You know what I mean? You felt like some kind of a bug when she looked at you. You hearing this? Now let's have order in the ministry here now, okay? And she left these glasses off, and she just had the most worst, or she had the terrible time. I says, you know what? Put those glasses back on, and when they stop working for you, then your eyes are healed. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. If God is going to heal your eyes, they won't work. You put them back on again, and they won't work anymore. You'll have to take them off so that your eyes will work. And it's the same way with you people out there that stop taking your medicines, insulin and so on like that. You're going to get a reaction if you take insulin and you're healed. How many are hearing this? See, but that's too realistic. And don't preach like that because, hey, you're ruining people's faith. But oh, how she hated to do it. She had to put her glasses back on again. She almost wanted to stop being a Christian altogether because she had to put her eyeglasses back on again. What's that got to do with being a Christian anyway? But that's where this hyper-faith teaching has taken us. It's made liars out of us. Say amen, somebody. It's really the truth. It's bless me club. Did God bless you? How did he bless you? Oh, he blessed me this way and he blessed me that way. My point is here tonight that there are people starving while we're busy proving how much God wants to bless us. How many know that the poor are blessed? How many know that? You're talking about glasses. Now I've lost my own. How many know that the poor a lot of times are blessed? I take whom I please, says God. Ye would have kings and queens first. I choose these humble servants in their kitchens before I choose their masters and their mistresses in high societies in all these groups. You would choose the counselor. You would choose the banker and the wise man. I take the fool first. I take the poor before the rich, that I may humble all your pride and teach you that there is nothing in a man, nothing inside of a man that makes me choose him, but that it is my sovereign will. My sovereign will, I choose whom I will choose. And so we have a lot of people that are saying, I know exactly what the will of God is in every instance. That is untrue. You people listening on the radio, you may claim and proclaim and jump up and down and speak the word and command God and stand on the promises and rebuke Satan and have your own dreams and prophesy your own word. But I'll tell you something, God is going to do what he pleases. This one healed of this disease and another one over here died. None of your business. See, we've got to get back to the sovereignty of God. You remember Habakkuk rises up and he says something like this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vine, yet will I trust in the Lord. Doesn't that show you the power of all supporting grace? No, I've had times down here when I've just said, Lord, I am going to trust you. You know why? Because there is absolutely nothing else to trust. You can't trust in the arm of the flesh because it can't reach into the north side. It doesn't want to bother with the north side. Well, how do you know a ministry is even worth anything unless it's had its faith tried? It's a trying of our faith, isn't it? How do you know anything until it's stood the test and the trial? Janine was telling me about some man that was out in Las Vegas. And he had a gimmick, and he had the gimmick underneath his coat. And this people were up there taking a video of him and talking to him in this airplane, and he opened up the door and he let himself fall out of the door at about 10,000 feet up. Well, you know what he was doing? He was testing a little parachute he had in the back here for people that were afraid of flying. And they could just have this little parachute in the back seat and it would open up. Well, he had to try it, didn't he? Well, you know what? It didn't work. And it buried himself 10 inches in the desert floor. My point is that you have to try things. See, sometimes things don't work out, do they? Huh? How many know there's failure a lot of times before there is a success? How many know you have to try things, and you try this, and you try that, and it seems like nothing's going to work, and all of a sudden something works. And you say, praise God, we had to try all them things, and it brought us to this. People will call them defeats, won't they? Have I tried a lot of things down here? Yes, I've tried a lot of things down here. I'm going to try a whole lot more things down here too. Why? Because by faith I'll do them. I'm not saying they're all going to work out. That doesn't destroy my faith. What excuse would I have to just leave it all and say, well, this didn't work out and that didn't work out and this didn't work out. There's so many cuts going on all over and it looks like, where is the world going to anyway? People say, well, it's going to hell. What the Bible says is going to hell. Bible's so fantastic. Bible doesn't lie. Bible tells us exactly what's happening right now. And it says in the end, men's hearts will fail. You see a lot of failing of hearts? Wait for another couple years here. You're going to see people jumping out of windows like crazy. Why is that? Hearts will fail. There was a man that analyzes people, and he was in the same board, same panel that I was. And he says, now your company is laying off a lot of people. Do you see a lot of suicides happening? Because people lost their jobs? And he went on with these great big long words, and he went through this whole thing like that, and he had this great big thing he read off and so on like that. And I thought, I have the best therapy. The best therapy that it could ever be in the world for these people. Bring them down to the north side so that they could see they have a lot to praise God about. You listening on the radio, you're feeling like you could have more? Well, come on down where there's a lot less. And you'll lose that feeling and that driving for more and more and more when you see people with less. Doesn't that satisfy? Do you really want to get satisfied when you only have a little? Go where there's nothing. Doesn't that make you want to praise God? I remember when they built the IDS down here and there was a little bit of discussion on would the foundation hold this thing up or not? Would it in so many years start to tip in so many degrees and degrees and degrees and so like that, you know? Well, you never know until you get up inside of that building and several years down the line you analyze it. Somebody had to have guts enough to go ahead and build the thing. Oh, there was a lot of speculation when it was built, and there was a whole lot of people that could have done a lot better job, I'm sure. And it's the same way in ministry. There's a lot of folks that can do a better job, but my God, where are they? Do you know, I asked the Lord one time, why do you use me in these things? And you know what the answer was? You're available. That's all he said. That's all he had to say. You were available. Availability, that's the key, isn't it? Here I am, Lord, send me. See, but this man that did this IDS building, he didn't know that thing was going to stand up until it was tested by the wind and the rain and hail and cold and heat and earthquakes and tornadoes and all that. You never know. You never know until you get... You go ahead and you have to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord for things. Isn't that the building of your faith? Doesn't that make you feel good when you go through a storm and through a trial and you've trusted in the Lord and it works out? You remember Job? Go ahead and try my servant. Oh, well, he's got everything. He's got a hedge built around him. And the Lord took everything away from him. Well, he's poor now. Now go ahead. Just knock him down. And he's sitting on this great big old dunghill thinking. Do you think he was saying something like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You ever felt like that? But you know, he went right on trusting the Lord. The Bible says he got twice. I think that makes Satan mad. And here's a poor man, and you lay all these trials on the poor man. Now you got a double owie on Satan. Ooh, are you hearing this? You out there that have to do the work. You out there that have the calloused hands and the blistered feet. You that have that weariness of bones. You that have no rest. Well, Jesus came and it said he had no place to rest his head. It says in the Bible, foxes had holes and the birds of the air had nests, but he had nowhere to lay his head. You're just walking through here, friend, and that's the way I feel about my walk. I'm just passing through here. You want to know something? I'm glad I'm just passing through. Oh, 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 oh. I am glad I am just passing through. But whilst I'm passing through, I want to see those needs and I want to hear those needs so I don't have to listen to my own complaining. There is nothing more miserable than living for yourself. I mentioned that at that panel I was at, and they had all these questions about Jesus. That was just great. And I said, I am thoroughly convinced that there's only one way out of this thing, and that's to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And that the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is the tool that's going to be used to bring them in. There is only one way out of this mess, folks. One way. Man, it was so silent in there, you could hear a pin drop. But somebody's got to say it. Someone's got to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and I will never know exactly all that happened there, but the Bible says that you go ahead and you minister the gospel of Jesus Christ and it will do what it's sent out to do. Something fantastic happened. Oh, what? What is it? I can't number it for you. I just know by the Word of God, it says every time that you minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, something fantastic will happen. It will do what it's sent out to do. And every time that we minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in this church or someone hears it on the radio, hey, it will do what it's supposed to do. And so I close that message up and I'll close this one up the same way. Hey, outside of loving the Lord and working for the Lord, there is nothing. And don't let anything defeat you that would pull you away from your work. I said, let nothing defeat you or pull you away from your work of ministering the gospel. Because truly, if you want to be miserable, start to think and act for yourself. Start to get involved in your own puny, stinking needs instead of the needs of others. If you truly want to be miserable, there's no more joy than the joy that is set before. You know what that joy is? The bringing in of souls. The bringing in of the sheaves, the Bible says. Bringing in the sheaves. I should have finished my little oratory by singing that song and maybe pull out one of those little harmonicas. Poop, 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 you know. All together now, bringing in, huh? Truly would say, this man is crazy. But no more crazy than the people in the room that had eyes and couldn't see and ears that couldn't hear. That's really crazy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? They hearing this? You listening on the radio? I'm locking it up now. Remember the poor was the message tonight. You know why? There's another reason you should remember the poor. You know what it is, really? I think it's this. Because they belong to the, they are the Lord's brethren. Remember the poor. Remember the invisible people. And their unrecognized, they said in the meeting, unrecognized needs. And I thought, this is so fantastic. That this beautiful man that wrote this letter to me recognized that there were people with unrecognized needs, and that the reason they were is because they were invisible. Go on out. Minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ yourself. Come on down tomorrow to the run. Tonight we'll be loading up the truck and getting it ready to go on out. And if you truly want to have a lot of fun, come on down and see the people down there. So many times people come down, they'll get surprised because there'll be maybe a few. For the most part, there's a lot of order. But maybe somebody will push or shove or something like that. And people will always come, well, inevitably and always they'll come. Oh, these people, don't they appreciate this and that? I said, yeah, they do. They're just trying to get their fair share, just like anybody else. Have you ever been down, you folks back there, have you ever been to any of these runs? Have you? Come on down tomorrow. Come on down. I seen you at the gas station, right? You were going to get involved. Okay. Now, come on down and get involved. And it'll only take it, but come on for a half hour. Right up here in Emerson and Broadway. And we'll put you on there, and you can hand out these heads of lettuces. God, it's so much fun. I mean, it's so beautiful. See, now you can just give up sleeping in the morning or whatever you're going to do, or traveling someplace. And give up a half hour of your time. You know what I mean? I'm just challenging you to do that. Not that you won't. But if you really want to get happy, suffer yourself to get out of bed. Suffer yourself to come down there. Suffer the flesh to get there for the joy you're going to get afterwards. Because, boy, I'll tell you one thing, until you really get involved meeting the needs of others, which really is our need. We have a need somewhere inside of us, in our makeup, is a need to meet the needs of others. And when we do that, then we meet our own need. Our need is to meet the needs of others. When we deny the flesh and actually physically do that, realistically do that, I didn't know this was so much fun. Come on down tomorrow. Anybody else? Tomorrow, come on. How many would like to come down tomorrow to that run? John, you come on down. And you come on down. And you people, if you want to come down, just try it one time. And tomorrow I'll meet you two, and we'll be over there at the Casotas over there. And God is going to bless us over there. I feel it. And tonight we'll load up all of these. Now, if we everybody get down there tonight, and we get down there and we load up all this lettuce and these melons and everything, and it isn't going to take us but 20 minutes to get them trucks loaded up. And then we'll drive those things up and we'll park them up there so we're all ready for it. I think preparation is the greatest, is the name of the game. Be prepared. Be prepared. Did you know that? Get ready now for this Thanksgiving thing. It's going to be 5,000 bags passed out down here to the needy, and this will be a bonus bag giveaway. And you can ask me, you listening on the radio, get involved in this 5,000 marathon bag giveaway. And we're going to have ground round in there, a couple, 3 pounds a piece in each bag. And we're going to have like 4 pounds of turkey in each bag. And we're going to have all kinds of food items in that bag. And we want everybody to be involved in that. You listening on the radio, come on down and call the church, 521-4665, and get involved. And just see what it is, what the gospel says, you know, to deny yourself, bear a cross, pick up a cross and follow me. And whenever you follow Jesus, you know where you'll end up? Where the poor people are. Where the wretched people are. That's where Jesus is. He's not in the tomb over in Israel. And he's not at some of these hyper-faith messages places. And he's not at those prosperity teachings. No, he's not. There's a whole lot of flesh there. You hear me? There's a whole lot of flesh there. People raising their arms up. Praise God for deodorant, I'll tell you, because there's a lot of stinking flesh there. It's just a fleshy action, okay? And people, now, these praises are mighty empty as far as I'm concerned. If we're not doing it, you can just praise God all you want. If you ain't doing anything, it doesn't mean, that'd be like your kid walking up to you. I praise you, Mommy. I love you, Mommy. Did you do your room? But I love you, Mommy. Did you go to school? But I love you, Mommy. How long are you going to put up with that kid saying I love you if he doesn't obey you? Do you think that you're going to chastise that child? Well, it's the same way with your Heavenly Father. A lot of praising going on and no action is going to bring you a tremendous chastising. Say amen, somebody. And that's the truth of it. But isn't that the truth? I mean, being realistic about it. I know that God is just greatly disturbed with people that are always, I praise you, and singing hallelujahs and dancing, and the so-called dancing in the Spirit and all this. This is fine. But dance after you're done working. It's like your kid. You're not going out to play, and I don't want you telling me how much that you love me until you finish that room. It's the same way with God. I know myself. I don't go running out and play until I'm done with my work. And I would feel really bad if I didn't make it down here one day to do this work down here when I know God has stationed me to be here. Say amen, somebody. That's really the truth. Brother, I hope you didn't get too offended about those 6 places that you're at. Sell those things and give the money to the church. See if you can cash them in, will you? You really don't need them anyway. Is anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Right there? Come on up here, young man.
There you have it. That was episode 221. That was the conclusion, part 2. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part 1 and every Sunday for part 2. Next Friday, the message is poverty. Keep in mind, these messages were pre-recorded in 1986. When you go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's show notes. Up at the top of the show notes are the original dates of these recordings. And so I am taking these recordings and bringing them in, digitizing them, and creating this podcast. So when he refers to Thanksgiving giveaways, holiday giveaways, outside giveaways, and all of that, we were kind of in the height, in the beginning of these giveaways at that time. Quite exciting. Right now, we are not into holiday giveaways because they were absolutely so huge. It was unbelievable. And you'll see a picture of people lining up in 1993 at the website. We have that there. Another note, we do have a lot of housekeeping to do at the website. So we'll be getting to that in the future. If anyone out there is interested in helping us do any of our online work, you can always give me a call, 612-521-4665. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday for Poverty. God bless you. Hey, and have a nice Thanksgiving.
You got to move. Oh, when the law.